As we take a survey in our minds, if we can, for just a minute, of God's work, especially in the New Testament, if you consider and contemplate the work of women that are recorded and mentioned in the New Testament, in light of all of that goes on there and the leadership of the pastors and apostles and so forth, frankly, there's not a lot of detail, is there? You stop and think through. Now you say, well, that's unfair, that's unkind. No, God was on purpose directing to have proper leadership, and he would use his major servants to provide God's scripture, start churches, all those things. I think that's appropriate and right. But does that mean that women don't have any role in ministry? And I think we can vehemently, or maybe strongly would be a better word, say that no. Actually, women have a very significant and important role. Rebecca's already mentioned it tonight, and I appreciate this about her. I appreciate it about the other single lady missionaries that we support. They didn't go there to plant a church. They're not supposed to, okay? But are they there? And they would often, I think every one of them has said something like this, we're there to support, in a support role. Well, you say, well, that's kind of a low totem pole type place to be. No, actually not. It's actually a very significant place to be in God's design and God's purposes, is it not? Rebecca said it tonight earlier, every one of us have a role to play in God's work. So we're a body. Who's the head of Heritage Baptist Church? All right, you got the right answer. That's right. Christ is. And God has asked each of us to do our part. So maybe some of us here are fingers or hands or ears or mouths or whatever it may be. And it's a funny thought for us to think that way. But in Ephesians 4, don't turn there, we have been on purpose joined together. Every joint supplies something. And so if the joint is out, there's a problem. The body doesn't function well. And in the role of the work of God in the New Testament age, the role that ladies play is significant and important. We could look at Titus 2. It looks like that might be a possibility. Ladies, I'm going to give an advertisement for the ladies' Bible study coming up in April. I think that's the direction they're going, it looks like. And looking forward to that great study, what older women teach younger women, and the roles that each of them play in the New Testament. My mind wandered, though, is there someone in the New Testament that we could look at that would, in many ways, describe exactly what Rebecca is doing and help find biblical encouragement for the role of women in ministry? She can't go plant a church, but can she serve alongside of missionaries? Well, I know that a church family, especially here on Sunday night, we would all say amen. You are supporting four single lady missionaries on the field tonight. Well, one's home. Okay, so, but that's significant and important. So let's look tonight at Priscilla. Unlike the single missionaries that we support, single lady missionaries, Priscilla is married, and yet she describes for us and lays out for us, I think, a New Testament example for ladies in ministry, and I think it's significant. In verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, a significant, amazing story in Acts chapter 17, but does not stay in Athens, preaches the gospel there on Mars Hill, very few receptive. They were too smart for the gospel there. They were too pagan, frankly. And so there are a couple that get saved. We know of one man mentioned here. And so as far as we know, no church is planted, at least by Paul, in Athens. He comes to Corinth, and that's where we're at. So after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Very interesting, we would not necessarily pick up from their names that they were Jews. But Scripture makes it clear. So we have these folks are Jews, yet they've lived in Rome themselves. These are more than likely a part of what the Jews in Israel would consider the diaspora, all right, the spread out ones. They've been dispersed throughout the nation. And in many ways, we would probably consider these, Aquila and Priscilla, Hellenized. What we mean by Hellenized? Well, they'd taken on the Greek culture. They were Hellenistic in their thought. They were potentially, at least, not strong Orthodox Jews. But that's just our guess, because they had lived in Rome. So they had come from Rome. And so he came unto them, and came unto them, and under verse 2, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Very interesting note here. We often do not think in the New Testament period of women having an occupation per se. Homemakers helping in the home. We think of the Proverbs 31 woman, all those things. And yet this passage, verse 3, mentions that Priscilla was a tent maker too. Whatever she did in the process of their means of keeping themselves supported, she was a vital part, not an insignificant part to that. I find that a very interesting note here, that she was involved in her husband's work. And now we go on in the passage here, and the attention turns precisely to Paul. So just a couple of background thoughts on Priscilla. Obviously, she welcomed Paul into her home, was quick to hear the gospel. Understand, did they get saved at this point? Were they already saved? I don't know. But her home was open to Paul. And I think that that's significant. All right, let's go on to verse 18 then. We pick up the story here. And Paul, after he had tarried there yet a good while, so there'd been an uprising. Paul preached for 18 months or so in Corinth. Was helping the church get established. There was an uprising, and they want to get him basically out of town. And so Paul, after this, had tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head, this is talking about Paul, in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And so he comes to Ephesus, and verse 20, and when they desired him to tarry longer there, time with him, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that it cometh in Jerusalem, but I will come again to you, return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and got up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening the churches. And a certain Jew, Apollos, I missed my spot. Someplace in here it says that he left Priscilla and Aquila, having with him Priscilla and Aquila. Anyways, can you find it with me? 21, thank you. And bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the yes, but I will return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And so where did he leave Priscilla and Aquila there? Verse 18. It was all the way back. I thought I was overlooking it. And sailed thence with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Well, I know that... left them there. That's the words I'm looking for. Thank you. My eyes kept on passing over. He came to Ephesus and left them there. Thank you. I just couldn't get my eyes on it. Thank you. I'll blame the bifocals for a second. Is that what we... Anyway, okay. So notice, though he travels on, he left... All right, so we find them first in Corinth. They had come there because they had to leave because Claudius said, get all the Jews out of Rome. Whatever their position was, they were opened their home to him. Now, 18 months, a year and a half later, he's out of Corinth, but Aquila and Priscilla are so significant that he brings them with. Why? Well, it appears as though he had a plan, and they were quick and ready to hear that plan and say, all right, we'll go. They had already been willing to travel before. What's another uprooting? Now, for a lady, that's somewhat significant, to be moved again. Moved again, Rebecca. All right? And yet she said yes. Priscilla was happy to say yes. And he leaves them there and goes on for his work and ministry. So here we are. Now they're in Ephesus by themselves, appearing to help the disciples that are there already. And the significant story of Ephesus really doesn't come until chapter 19 when Paul comes back. But what happens while they're there? Okay, now we're down to verse 24. And a certain Jew came, named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he was fervent for the Lord, yet still preaching that Christ was coming. Not that he had already come and died on the cross for their sins. He didn't know about that. How could he not know about that? I don't know, but he didn't, all right? He'd studied scriptures. It appears in Alexandria there was probably a good, well, we know that there were Jews there in Alexandria, knew the scriptures well, had heard of John's ministry, but that's where it stopped. And yet, because he loves his Lord, is excited about what God is doing, he's preaching this. And notice verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. So Aquila and Priscilla appears still gathering at times with, at least, if not regularly, with the Jews in the synagogue, heard, and they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, the scripture is straightforward. So who was teaching Alexander, this great orator, this man who loved the Lord, who was mighty in scripture, already knew the Old Testament, if I can put it this way, forward and backward? It wasn't just Aquila. Priscilla was too. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. doesn't our theology teach us that only men are supposed to teach in the church, that ladies are not supposed to usurp authority or teach the men in the church? Right. So what's Priscilla doing here? Teaching in her home, in a school setting, in a one-on-one conversation, over supper that she had just made for Alexander. Or, I mean, yeah, Apollos from Alexandria. There we go. I understand I had a pretty big guffaw this morning, too. Keep laughing at me. I talked about unsaved believers this morning. Did you catch that? Okay, you must have. Okay, thank you for paying attention, all right? I used to have I had a teenager that one time kept track of all my crazy sayings. She had a book full. All right, anyways, I'm sure you have a book full too. Anyways, okay, so Apollos is being taught even by Priscilla. Ladies, though you may not have the formal role of teacher in the local church or pastor, of course, that does not mean you can't instruct people in the Lord. And that's a significant role. Probably one of, there's several folks, and I've mentioned her before. One of the most significant people in training me spiritually, in growing me and helping me understand scripture was a lady, former nun. Sue Stevens, her name's now Sue Hermes. Some of you may know her. She became a friend of our families. She was my teacher in high school, and then shortly after I went to college, she came to Maranatha to be the Dean of Women. Of all things, when I was in seminary, the president of the school had her come teach one of the seminary classes, a ministry class, and it was most appropriate. It was just right. And Sue has been just a cherished friend and helped me think through things spiritually. She was a support to my mom and dad and their ministry in that sense. It wasn't like she was taking over dad and mom's place in my life, not at all, but came alongside and opened my eyes spiritually to many things to help me grow in the Lord, even though she was just my English teacher. Isn't that something? And I looked to her as a place of wisdom. When I was going through some times of challenge, there were times where I was on the phone with Sue. Sue, what do you think here? Help me as I make some ministry decisions. What's your thoughts? Because she had been such a good student of people, had been used to the Lord in counseling at that point for years, she had, and God has gifted her in unique ways, she had just the right words at the right time. What I needed for the moment. Ladies, you can do that. The Bitrix aren't here this evening, but I was howling this morning before Sunday school. It was so funny. They came in, and we said just the right thing for Jack and Nancy both to start talking about their relationship and how it changes and morphs over time. And she said to Jack, now after I pass away, if I go first, she said, don't you go on the internet and find another wife. she said, Pastor, you got to make sure, you promise me, Pastor, that he won't do that, all right? Now, I know he needs another. He's helpless without a wife, so I know he's going to look for one. Right? He says, oh, I was roaring. I was absolutely roaring. Nancy got it, though. That there's reality that many of us men desperately need our wives and ladies to help us. And here's Priscilla doing something very, very significant in helping Apollos become all that he should be for the Lord. And so we call it support. We call it God gifting, whatever we want to call it, but it's right. Done in a right, sweet spirit. You never have this sense that Priscilla is taking charge. No, if I can put it in what I would call biblical terms, she is being hospitable in every way. Sharing the grace of God, not just over a meal, but the very word of God and helping Apollos grow in the Lord. Now, we're not done. So that I wanted you to see that wonderful example as illustrated here. But let's run then to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 because she comes up again. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it's a sweet wrap-up of her life. This is the last historical, if I can put it, chronological time that she's mentioned in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's get down to, Paul is just thanking the Lord for what's going on and giving a few explanations. Let's go. I beseech you, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, here we are, verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. With the church that is in their house, all the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. Aquila and Priscilla's home was where Paul had stayed, obviously, on his work in Corinth. They followed Paul to Ephesus and instructed Apollos more completely in the way of the Lord. We find out from Romans chapter 16, and this is a good cross-reference, don't turn there, but Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, that they were back in Rome, and so this is the church that's referred to here, with a church in their house. More than likely, they were a moderately wealthy family, and a moderately wealthy home could hold up to even 30 people in the large dining room. I've been in Latin America where this tradition on how to build homes is still seen in some of their architecture. It's kind of neat. So where the Rayfelds work, Jonathan Rayfeld, their co-workers, the Perez's, have a home that they live in, and the dining room is the biggest room in the house. It's massive. You can hold a church service in their dining room. And it reminds me of what goes on here in Rome. That would be a common thing to do. And the dining room becomes the place where the hubbub of the house goes on. We understand that to a degree in our American homes, but we often make the family room or the living room the big room, the place where we go gather. It's probably unfortunate in our culture that often the TV becomes the center of that instead of the fellowship that can go between saints and so forth. But here we have, so Aquila and Priscilla have this good home back in Rome, and they're having a church there. Now, if I know anything about culture, and I'm not an expert in any way, but when someone comes to a lady's home, when you have guests in your lady's home, ladies, what do you normally do? You clean the house, okay? There they go. That wasn't the response I was first looking for, but that's true, okay? Wonderful. But you always have to have something to eat. Always offering something. That's the typical. It's all right, let's have a little snack. I'm thinking through the Latin culture and Ruth Perez, as we're down there in Uruguay, People are in and out of her home all the time, and there's food always going. Always. Now, what happens when we sit down to eat? Well, if you're an American, unfortunately, you still hang on your stupid phone and keep texting and talking and playing games, all right? That's unfortunate. That's not good in our culture. But in most places, you sit down and you talk. That it's the wonderful place, and I encourage you, I know that believers, you often do that in your home. Keep it up. That's a good practice. Do it with your family. Make your whole family stop. I don't care what's going on. Figure out a time where you all stop and eat a meal together. There's something about chewing food that opens the heart and gives you some good conversation. Whatever the connection is, God's got it figured out really well. And so does Aquila and Priscilla. So here's, could you imagine not just once a week, but probably several times a week, your home being invaded by, yes, I know your friends, but wait a second, it's your house. And, okay, now the cleaning part comes up. They make a mess. And when they come, it's like, okay, they meet in the dining room. What do you do in the dining room? You dine, you eat. Ugh, I got to make another batch of empanadas or whatever it may be. All right, there's Latin culture for you. Okay, it's like, what do I? Yes, and here's Aquila. I'm sorry, here's Priscilla. This has been a bad day, I guess. Anyways, here's Priscilla being a host, graciously serving, helping that church grow. And I will tell you, that's significant. And I think God's word points it out well, too. If we didn't have fellowships around here, things would get pretty dry, wouldn't it? Ladies, thank you for your part. Those are significant parts, and they need that on the mission field. They need the help, the uplift. They need a teacher. They need just someone to come alongside and do all the things that men just can't do. You ask a man to make a place look pretty, and what he'll do is draw straight lines and color it black and white. Aren't you glad that we have ladies around here? Does that make sense? Now, even men need a lady's touch, a soft and tender heart to help them bear burdens, to think about Scripture not just from their angle, but from the angle of how God designs women to think. And that's significant. No wonder God chose to use both Aquila and Priscilla to train Apollos. It didn't hinder his ministry. It blossomed his ministry. And so they're blossoming a church here in Rome again. And Paul says, the church that's at in Aquila and Priscilla's house, they're all saying hi to you too at Corinth. Thank you so much. Aquila and Priscilla, remember you in Corinth. You've been such a blessing to them. You're still dear on their hearts. If ever you get to Rome, stop by and say hi. That's the ministry of ladies, touching our hearts, affecting us, being hospitable, generous, supporting the work that God has designed. So do we say amen to what God's doing in Rebecca's life? Of course we do. We rejoice in it. Ladies, do your part and do it well. Without your part, we fail. It's that important. We could get by for just a little bit on men's beef jerky and their crazy jokes. But then we'd drive everybody away. And so we need ladies too. So anyways, I trust that as we look at the life of Priscilla, we understand the value of every individual, and we cherish what God is doing through us and the ladies that are here and through the ministry of our missionaries who desperately need that kind of support and encouragement. May God prosper his work. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and the pictures and the examples that you set for us. Yes, there's some healthy instructions for the ladies in the New Testament. Titus 2 is one great passage. And there are others, 1 Peter 3, 1 Timothy 2. And yet, Lord, we rejoice in the work that Priscilla did in showing us that there's a godly and good way for ladies to have significant spiritual impact in the life of church. And so, Lord, we pray that in a unique way, that, Lord, you would prosper Rebecca on her way, that you would use her to be a rich blessing in every way to both the families that she's going to work with and the ministry that you will give her that we're not even aware of yet. Thank you for how you've directed her steps, and pray that you would prosper on her way. May we be able to hear of more people coming to Christ because Rebecca was in Ukraine, because Rebecca taught others how to speak and how to know their Bibles well, and because she had people in her home and helped the missionaries have people in their home so that people could talk over good food. All those things, simple and yet very important matters before the Lord. So prosper her and on her work. And then, Lord, thank you for the ladies, every one of them that you've given us here. They are a significant part of the work. We would fail without them. That's very clear. And so would you give them strength and wisdom to do their part well? Lord, they can instruct all of us. Help us to hear when they're giving us God's word. Help us to learn and grow. And may we catch their tender heart, their sensitive spirit to the needs of people around them, and cause us to be a better church because of the ministry and work that goes on through the ladies here at Heritage Baptist Church. In your name we pray. Amen.